So, Tim.
Yes.
This is one of the ideas that made me want to start a podcast.
Okay.
This was actually one of the things that I've experienced in my life. One of the things that I saw take place that made me love chaos, fiascos, okay. fails, those kinds of things.
Okay.
Now, I like watching those kinds of things from afar. When it's in my own life, chaos, fiascos, fails, it's not as enjoyable, obviously. But I look back on things that happened in my own life and I laugh at it, right?
What doesn't kill us will only make us stronger, right?
Exactly. So we're going to go back to November 19th, 2004. Does this ring a bell?
Okay.
Let's start by talking about what was 2004 like for Tim.
2004, I had a one-year-old, so I was busy.
Yeah,
he would have been exactly a year.
Okay.
And this is November 2004?
Yep, yeah. November 2004.
So basically a year.
So a year you had one kid.
One kid.
And
we were in a house.
Is that when
talk
you
about
just,
fail, huh?
That's when you just moved?
So no, we had had a house, my wife and I, and we had a kid. She wanted to stay home with him,
mm-hmm.
which I was totally for. So when she quit her job to stay home with our son, we went bankrupt.
Oh.
Yeah. We ended up losing the house.
Oh, really?
Into an apartment.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably when he was about two, but we were already on that idea of letting her stay home.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Which I'm still grateful for, actually. It didn't bother me at all to give that up.
Yeah.
In order to have, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So that's where I was at.
So 2004, I mean, good things happening.
Yeah.
Not so good things. Just life.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't remember much about 2004. I would have been 11. I mean, enough to know what's going on, but that was like, I was in the sixth grade.
Those were good times.
Yeah. Yeah, I had some friends, but at the end of the day, it's like, you can only do so much.
Right.
You know? But I do remember watching TV, and that's how I got exposed to this week's fail. So it's November 19th, 2004. It happened in Detroit, Michigan, which is already a fail, right?
I mean, not to make light of it, but yeah, I mean, Detroit's kind of
I don't want to live
the
there.
Lower end, yeah.
Yeah, and no, I mean, I've heard Detroit is really turning around and it's really a cool place to be now, but Detroit went through a lot, man.
Yeah.
It was a country's fourth largest city, and now it's like down in the 20s or something. Like it lost a lot of population because of the decline of the city.
Okay, so we're in Detroit.
Actually, specifically, we're in Auburn Hills.
Okay.
So it's like a suburb of Detroit. The Palace? Doesn't ring a bell?
Nope, keep going.
We're going to talk about a little thing called Malice in the Palace.
This is all new to me.
Really?
Yeah, all right.
Okay. The Associated Press called it the most infamous brawl in NBA history.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you still,
no,
like you don't know anything about
keep
this?
Keep going, yeah.
Wow, okay. Who was involved in this incident?
Well, it had to have been the Pistons, right?
The Pistons, okay. Yeah. And the Pacers. So let's get some background on these teams. So Malice at the Palace is like what it's known as, right?
I can't believe I've never heard of this.
Oh, wow. I think if anybody is a fan of anybody, like any team in the NBA, you probably know about this.
Okay. So to be fair, so I was really into sports growing up all the way into my teens. And then when we did have kids when we moved out together, had kids, I kind of took like everything else was kind of pushed to the side.
Makes
so
sense.
Sports for a while was kind of way secondary.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead.
Probably to the point where it's like, I don't even have time for this anymore.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
Okay. For those that are listening, we live in Denver, and I'm a big fan of the Nuggets.
Yes.
I don't know if you're a fan.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. We got some really good players. Won the championship last year.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool. You know who else won the championship before this incident? The Pistons. So this event happened in the early part of the 2004-2005 season. The previous season, so the 2003-2004 season, the Pistons won the NBA championship.
That does sound familiar.
So the Pistons were good for a long time, I think in the early 90s or something.
Yeah.
Like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And then again, like in the early 2000s, they were pretty good.
Quick question. Was Rodman on the Pistons?
He was not at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, this was after Rodman.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yep. So cool. Rodman was in the early 90s.
And then he got traded to the Bulls, right?
Yep. Okay. And then I think that's where he ended up retiring, I think. And that was before 2004. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so 2003 to 2004 NBA season, Pistons won the championship. On the way to the championship, the Pistons met the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round and defeated them in 5 games. Pretty good defeat.
Yeah.
This is best of 7 series.
Yep.
The Pistons advanced to the second round where they played the Brooklyn Nets. And that series went to 7 games, but eventually Detroit won the 7th game. And they won pretty comfortably. It was 90-69. 21-point difference. They then advanced to the third round where they met up with the Pacers.
Okay.
Okay, so Malice at the Palace.
This is before going into the finals.
Yep. So this is, would be the East.
Okay.
So the Eastern Conference in the NBA. You go through 3 rounds and then you meet up with the best team in the West Conference. It's the third round. They advance to play the Pacers. Of the 6 games in that series, 4 of the games were decided by less than 8 points.
Oh, wow.
The Pistons ultimately won that series in 6 games and advanced to the finals, where they beat the Lakers in 5 games. Which, by the way, happy that they beat the Lakers.
Absolutely.
They've already won enough. Like,
just... But this is the Kobe era, right?
Early Kobe era, yeah.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Kobe Bryant, I think his first year was the 2002-2003 season.
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
Because I remember that because I think he played 1 season in the same era as Jordan. Jordan retired officially in 2003.
Yeah.
So I think they had 1 season where they played overlapped. So the Pistons eventually won the whole thing, the NBA championship. It could be argued that the series against the Lakers was easier for the Pistons than the series against the Pacers. You know how that is. Sometimes there's more of a battle in your own conference than there is, like, you could easily defeat the best team in the West.
Yeah.
So my personal opinion is that the series between the Pistons and the Pacers was probably like the best series to watch.
Yeah.
I believe that if the Pacers won that series, the Pacers would have eventually won the NBA championship that year. That's how good they were.
Okay.
Now, both the Pistons and the Pacers were believers in physical play, especially physical defense.
Okay.
Now, that style of play with the physical defense, you don't really see that much today.
Not as much, yeah.
The rules have changed so much.
Yeah.
You get called for a foul just for looking at somebody now. So, but back then, in the early 2000s, it was a much more physical game. Like, you could get up into someone's business and, you know, really kind of block and play defense like you're supposed to. Back then, the NBA was a lot more open to physical contact. It's not like that anymore. For better or worse.
Yeah.
It did evolve the game to more spectacular shooting abilities.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So let's think about this. The Pistons win the NBA championship. Celebrations. City of Detroit is riding high. But we're not here for successes. So while Detroit is riding high, the Pacers are stewing and cannot wait until they meet up again the next season. You know how it is when you lose to someone, you can't wait to play them again.
Those rivalries are real.
Yep.
Yeah.
They got that opportunity on the night of November 19th, 2004. First time that they met after the previous season. This was less than 10 games into the season for both teams.
Wow.
So okay. Very, very early in the 2004-2005 season. So it was a nationally televised game on ESPN. How did the game go? Well, the game between these two teams was heavily focused on defense, but the Pacers were able to get a 16-point lead before halftime. And this is taking place in the Pistons' home court.
In Detroit, yeah.
Yep, so already not good. So the Pistons made a few runs in the second half, and they cut the lead down. But ultimately, the Pacers were clearly going to win this game. The dagger happened with 3 minutes and 52 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter when Pacers player Steven Jackson hit back-to-back field goals, bringing the score to 93-79, Pacers winning. Even though
there were three minutes.
3 minutes and 52 seconds remaining when he hit that back-to-back field
goal. That was the dagger? I feel like there's a lot of time left.
They were up 93-79. So you would have to get 14 points and the Pacers could not have scored. Very unlikely. I mean, it's not impossible.
I guess being a Nuggets fan, I know it's possible.
Yeah. We're spoiled. Like, it doesn't matter. We can always win the game.
That's right.
But generally speaking, you're down by 14 points, only 3.5 minutes.
Okay.
It's like, you're kind of done for. So even though there was a clear winner already, most of the starters for both teams stayed in the game. It's a little weird.
That's, yeah.
And it may not seem like a big deal right now, but the implications of this, we'll talk about it later. Now, if you're up by 14 points and it's that early in the season, like where these games...
Oh, yeah, you put your starters in, send them to the showers.
Yeah, rest them, man.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what started the brawl and the start of this whole fiasco. With 45.9 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter, the first domino falls over. So Pistons center, Ben Wallace, went up for a layup attempt. And Pacers player, Ron Artest, fouled him from behind by slapping Ben Wallace across the back of the head. Now, it wasn't a dangerous play. I wouldn't have even called it a flagrant foul or anything like that. It was just like incidental. He went up to block and kind of like his forearm hit the back of his head.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not really a dangerous thing. It was called a common foul. Nothing extraordinary. But it made Ben Wallace pretty angry. Okay, they're already down by 14 points. He's going up for a layup attempt to get what he thinks is slapped in the back of the head. Well, maybe Ben Wallace was upset about the fact that they were losing at home in front of their own fans. So Ben reacted by walking up to Ron Artest and shoving him enough to make Artest lose his balance backwards and have to take a few steps back to regain his balance. Pretty hefty shove.
All right. Which what still naturally, doesn't sound too
it's not
out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it's not nothing crazy, right? So naturally, both teams like run up and try to get between and kind of like what you would expect. When you see a shoving match going on, you're like, okay, let's just kind of separate, right? But it was charged. This is a rivalry. You're losing, so obviously there's a little bit more emotion involved here, right? There are some words back and forth between the two teams, but things start to calm down a little bit, right? About 15 to 20 seconds after the original foul took place, it's kind of like what you see, right?
Right.
This type of thing happens. It's not really common in the NBA, but it's not uncommon enough to where you could see it at any point, right? It's not out of the question. Maybe the teams get up in each other's face. There may be some shoving. It happens enough to where any given NBA game, you could see it, right? The players and the coaches will come out onto the court. They'll get between the two players. Things simmer down and the refs review footage and assess technical fouls. Then the game goes on. Another thing to point out, I would say the majority of people didn't know this at the time. Ron Artest is pretty open about this now, but at this point in Ron Artest's career, he had an anger management problem.
Oh.
And he was working on ways to keep his anger in check. One of these methods included deep breath exercises. Okay. Something makes you mad. Take deep breaths. Let it go slowly.
Bad.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
What does Ron Artest do after he gets shoved?
I want to say he took some deep breaths.
He definitely took some deep breaths. So he does that, right? He starts taking deep breaths. After things settle down enough, he actually goes over to the scorer's table and lays down on the scorer's table to try to keep himself calm, take some deep breath exercises. Some people perceived it as disrespectful.
Okay, so that was going to be my first my first thought. Like, okay, I understand, like, that's probably what he was doing, was trying to calm himself down.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you could have maybe went to a different area to do that.
Yep. Lay down on the scorer's table. And remember, you're not at home.
Yeah.
So all the fans are against you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Some people perceive this as disrespectful to everybody. Some people perceived it as disrespectful just to Ben, who had fouled him, as if Ron didn't think that Ben was enough of a threat to even stand up against.
All right. So,
can you perceive that? Yeah. Like if you shove me and then I just like go and lay down, like,
you know, I could just go take a nap now.
Yeah. Some people got really upset about that.
So, okay. I'm going to put myself in that as a sports fan position. If I were at that game and our rivals were at that game and they were winning, first of all, I'm already mad. Ticked off. I don't care if it's the beginning of the season.
Yep.
And then their player comes over and lays on our scoreboard.
It's making a little mad, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Even though it appeared this way, he was really just trying to stay calm, right? Well, the unfortunate thing is, Tim,
I don't believe it. I'm on the side of the Pistons.
Okay. This gets really interesting.
All right. Okay.
Artest was a Pacers player, and the Pacers were the visiting team. So there were a lot of Pistons fans not too far away from Artest. A Pistons fan, whose name was John Green, aimed a plastic cup with some Diet Coke in it. And he threw it.
Okay.
And it hit Artest right in the chest as he's laying down on the scorer's table.
This is great. All right. This is just like 20 seconds after the original foul happened.
This is like a minute afterwards. Okay. So he's laying down on the table. He stays there for a little bit. What's interesting is one of the Pistons players threw a towel at Artest, missed him, but still Artest saw it. And he complained. He's like, hey, did you see that? You know, to the ref.
Yeah.
So he goes back to laying down. Deep breaths. He's trying to calm himself down. He has an anger problem. While he's laying there, boom. A plastic cup with Diet Coke right on his chest. This action triggered a very chaotic scene. I am shocked that you have not seen footage of this.
I'm going to look it up right after this, but go ahead.
Artest reacted to this cup hitting him in the chest by doing the unthinkable. He goes into the stands as a player. Player, he runs up into the stands to who he thinks threw the cup.
Okay.
He only saw it out of the corner of his eye, so he wasn't exactly sure. One of the announcers tried to hold back Artest as he ran into the crowd. This resulted in the announcer falling backwards and getting stepped on, which resulted in a cut to the announcer's head.
Who is he stepped on by? Like a
Artest.
Oh.
Yeah. Artest is a big dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's an NBA player, so he's built, tall, all these things. Steps on him and causes a gash on his head. So Artest makes it up to who he thinks threw the cup, right?
Uh-huh.
And he grabs him. And it's when you look at the footage, there's like a huge height difference. So he grabs him and he's saying, like, did you throw that at me? Well, two other Pistons fans come up from behind and grab him so that he's like, he doesn't have his balance and he doesn't have his arms available either.
Okay.
And then another Pistons fan takes his cup and throws his liquid, like all the drink, into Artest's face. So he gets hit with a cup on his chest.
Okay.
And then he goes up and gets a drink in his face. Steven Jackson, who is a Pacers player, ran into the stands to protect Ron Artest.
Okay.
Because now he's in the enemy territory with enemy fans.
Yeah. Which, Steven, come on, again,
bad choice, right?
Yeah.
Very, very bad choice. You're never supposed to, like, there's this invisible line. Like,
yes.
You're never, fans are not supposed to come up to the players. Players are not supposed to go to the fans, right? So Steven Jackson ran into the stands and punched the fan who threw the drink in Artest's face. Punches him right in the face. Now, at this point, there are several players and coaches who run into the stands to try to break up the fight because this is just bad.
Right? Yeah.
Players in the stands fighting fans. Coaches and players go up to try and bring everything back, like bring our players back to the court. We don't need this. It's pure chaos, pretty much, at this point. Fans are going onto the court in confusion because they're trying to escape the fiasco happening around them where the melee is happening.
Right.
Because it's a full-on brawl at this point. Other fans are adding fuel to the fire by throwing whatever they can get their hands on. Food, wrappers, drinks, all of this being thrown in an attempt to hit or disrespect the players. Finally, there's still this major brawl going on. Artest and all the other players and coaches were able to get back onto the court, and there was some separation established between, you know, the court and the fans. Still, some fans entered onto the court, which resulted in more altercations between the players and fans.
My God.
I mean, you would not, if you were to look at the footage of it, you would not believe that this could ever happen. So these fans, like, there are two in particular, and they come up, the player, Artest, just like, boom, punches them right in the face, right? And then, like, another fan comes up, and then Steven, I think it was Steven Jackson, or I think it was maybe Jermaine O'Neal.
Okay.
Gets a running start and punches the fan in the face. Yeah, this is all nationally televised, by the way.
Now you're watching a boxing match.
Exactly. The fans are on the court. You're not supposed to be on the court.
No.
And you're approaching players. What do you think is going to happen?
So I see dollar signs just flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like you're going to tell me that the players were probably fined pretty heftily. But what do you do to the fans? I guess you can still find them, right? Before
yeah. Oh, yeah, you can find them. You're right. Eventually, like, so those two fans that got punched got charged for trespassing. Fans are not supposed to ever come on the court.
Like you said, there's that.
Yep.
There's
never that supposed to come onto the court. All these things are happening on the court now. After enough order had been established, security at that time was just three guards. Yep, three guards.
So we went to the Nuggets game a month ago. There was, every time there was a timeout or like probably a commercial break,
mm-hmm.
there was security all around that court.
Yep.
So maybe this is one of the reasons.
This did change a lot of the security.
Yeah.
So three guards was generally enough because security never anticipated that a player would go into the stands, and they never anticipated a mass amount of fans coming onto the court. They just got once Artest jumped that line and went into the stands, it was all like, it was just game over. There was no recovering from that. Eventually, the referees just ended the game.
I was going to say there was 45 seconds
45
left,
seconds
right?
left. They awarded.
Pacers are ahead. They're what? They won.
Yeah. They basically just said, you know what, Pacers, you can have it. 45 seconds left, doesn't matter.
Yeah. You won, get out.
Yeah. Yep, get out of here. Meanwhile, one of the announcers was begging over the PA system for all the fans to calm down and go home. Just
right.
Stop throwing things, calm down, go home. Pacers players and coaches had to be escorted off of the court by security. And you've been to an NBA game. Most people, they've probably seen this, but when the players leave the court after the game, they have to go through a tunnel.
Yeah.
So the tunnel, you have to go under the fans. Uh-huh. You have to go beside the fans.
Uh-huh.
So the Pacers players had to go through this tunnel with all these Pistons fans all around the tunnel. So what do you think happened?
I would assume the chaos ensued.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see a lot more being thrown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People jumping over because it's not that high. Some parts aren't that high.
They did throw things. They took advantage of the opportunity. Once again, they're throwing whatever they can get their hands on. Food, wrappers, drinks, popcorn, popcorn buckets. One player somehow got a hold of a folding chair and threw it at one of the Pacers players. Nearly hit him. Thankfully, he didn't. Pretty interesting. Eventually, police officers swarmed the arena. And they restored order by threatening to arrest anyone who refused to leave. That is enough to cause people to leave. After order was restored in the arena, police tried to arrest the Pacers players because they went into the fan.
Oh, okay.
And like literally attacked fans.
They kind of, yeah. I mean, in like you said, that invisible line.
Yep.
He was the first to break it.
Yep. He jumped right into the stands.
So... Mm-hmm. Again, as a fan, he started it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was the worst decision like he could have made. They tried to arrest the players, but ultimately the Pacers refused to hand over the players. Like, they were on the bus already. They refused to let him out.
I kind of agree with that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's the time or the place.
Yeah. They're going to be, the NBA is going to take care of that part. Yeah.
So the decision was made to delay any arrest and charges until after video footage had been reviewed. Police had to escort the Pacers bus off the premises of the arena to keep it safe. Okay.
This is awesome. I love it. Okay.
So we talked about the brawl, what is known as Malice at the Palace.
Yeah.
And that was on the national news.
I can't believe I've never heard of this.
That was on ESPN, TNT, like all these sports channels. And it was the big deal. Let's talk about the aftermath. 9 spectators were injured. 2 had to be hospitalized. On November 20th, which is the day after, the NBA suspended Ron Artest, Steven Jackson, Jermaine O'Neal, and Ben Wallace indefinitely. Just like, we don't know when you're going to play.
Oh, that's not good.
They said that their actions were...
the beginning of the season?
Yeah, right at the beginning. The NBA said that their actions were shocking, repulsive, and inexcusable. The following day, the NBA announced that 9 players would be suspended for a total of what eventually became 146 games.
That's the entire season plus.
This is total. So the 9 players, the amount of games they got suspended, added up to 146 games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not like everybody got suspended 146 like, games.
Your season and half of next season's done. No.
137 games that were suspended were for Pacers players. And
oh, geez.
9 games were for Pistons players. In the NBA, when you get suspended for a game, for whatever reason, you lose your salary that's associated with that game.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just going to go through this list. And how many games each player was suspended for and how much money they lost. Eldon Campbell was a Pistons player.
Okay.
One game, lost out on $48,888. Derek Coleman, who is a Pistons player, one game, $50,000. Chauncey Billups, which Chauncey. You know Chauncey. Yeah. He was a Pistons player at the time.
Oh, yeah.
One game, $60,611. Reggie Miller, another big name.
Reggie Miller was still with the Pacers, right?
Yeah. He was. What's interesting is he was injured during this game, but he was still there.
Oh, geez.
He was dressed in a suit. Like, it was pretty funny. One game, $61,611. That's all chump change compared to the rest.
Okay.
Anthony Jackson was suspended 5 games for a total of $122,222. Ben Wallace, which was a Pacers player, 6 games, $400,000 lost. Jermaine O'Neal was suspended for 15 games. He lost $4.1 million.
Oh my God.
Steven Jackson, suspended for 30 games. $1.75 million. Ron Artest, the one who started this whole shebang, got the most severe penalty. The remainder of the season, suspended, which totaled 73 regular season games, and then 13 playoff games he was suspended, for a total of $4.99 million.
Do we know if the Pacers made to the playoffs that year?
They did.
They did. Okay.
They played 13 playoff games, so they must have made it pretty far.
Okay.
At least third round.
Yep.
At the time, Ron Artest received the longest suspension in NBA history.
At the time.
At the time, yep. And I think that's still the longest for on-the-court type of behavior.
Man, now your Pacers fans are going to be super ticked.
Mm-hmm. Their team is pretty much done.
Yeah.
All these players are suspended
and
for so long.
And they still made it to the play. That's great.
Yeah. So they had a pretty good, pretty solid team, yeah. I'd say. There were obviously a ton of legal ramifications for this. John Green, the one who threw the cup, he was identified by one of his neighbors. And
oh, wow.
And so he was arrested.
Snitches get stitches, bro.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, like, his neighbor called him out. He got arrested.
Yeah.
And he was charged with assault because at some point when he was behind Ron Artest, he, like, got 2 punches on the back of his head.
Oh, okay.
So he got charged with assault. What's funny is they dropped the original charge of throwing the cup at him.
But, okay.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Like, a cup's not going to hurt somebody, right? Obviously, there were tons of legal charges against the players, against the Pacers. I think some even tried to sue the NBA. And a lot of that stuff happened, was settled out of court. So you don't really know, like, what they settled on. All of the fans who were involved in touching a player, hitting a player, coming onto the court, got completely banned from all Pistons games, all home Pistons games, and some of them even got banned from all events at the Palace, period, for life.
For life.
For life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Yep.
Think twice, man.
Yeah. What's interesting is the Palace doesn't exist anymore. They stopped using it. The Pistons stopped using it, I think it was like 07, 08 or something. Because they built the Little Caesars Arena.
Okay.
Which was downtown Detroit. And that's where they played.
Yeah.
Now, the Palace was destroyed in 2020. Demolished. But let's go over some interesting facts. In the NBA, when a player leaves the bench to assist with a confrontation, they're automatically suspended. Without pay for one game. If you're on the bench, you're not playing in the game, and there's an altercation on the court between two players. If you leave the bench to go onto the court and help,
oh,
you, automatically you're suspended for one game. without pay.
Okay.
Wow. If the player is already on the court, so any of the 10 players that are on the court, you can step in and try to break up the confrontation.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my question. Like, yeah. That means helping with or even trying to.
Yeah. Okay. But if you're a coach or you're a player and you come off the bench, that's obviously you can't do that. So it's automatic one game suspension without pay and possibly fined up to $50,000. So they are heavily like, do not come off the bench. You're going to make things worse. Just stay there. Due to the suspensions, only 6 players for the Pacers were available for the next game that they played. So there's one player on the bench at a time, like the whole game. Interestingly, they only lost by 3 points.
Hey.
They played the Orlando Magic. There are 10 teams that have never won an NBA championship, and the Pacers are one of them.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Pacers have never won an NBA championship.
Okay.
Ron Artest.
Do you have the list?
Yeah.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah.
Can I guess some of them?
Yeah.
Have the Bucks ever won?
Yes. They've won.
They've won. Okay.
Yep. In fact, they won in the last 5 years.
Okay. Supersonics? They don't exist anymore, though.
No, I think they became Oklahoma City Thunder.
I think. Oh, yeah. I don't know then. I would have thought that the Pacers won.
No. Never have won.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say the Nuggets, but...
Yeah. Well, we just got off that list.
Yeah.
The Suns?
Oh, yep.
Grizzlies?
Okay.
Timberwolves? The Nets? Brooklyn Nets have never won. The Pacers? The Hornets, obviously. The Pelicans? The Jazz? Orlando Magic? And the Los Angeles Clippers? All have never won.
Blame the Lakers and the Bulls. And yep. The Celtics for all that.
Yep, because they won way too much. So obviously there were a lot of legal proceedings that happened after this. Yeah. All 5 players who were charged with whatever they were charged with pleaded no contest to the charges because you can't, like, it's all recorded.
Like,
there's no getting out of that. In September of 2005, Artest, Jackson, and O'Neal were all sentenced to 1 year on probation, 60 hours of community service, and a $250 fine, and they had to go attend anger management counseling. Well, it's funny that they put a $250 fine in,
right?
Like, okay, whatever.
And he was already taking anger management classes anyway, right?
Yep. Yep, yep. So in March of 2006, so this is almost 2 years later, a jury found John Green guilty on 1 count of assault and battery for punching Artest when he was in the stands.
This was the fan, right?
This was the fan that threw the cup.
2 years later.
Yep, 2 years later. He was sentenced to 30 days in jail and 2 years probation.
What?
What's funny is in November of 2006, the Pistons gave him a letter that informed him that he was banned for life. For attending any of the Pistons' home games.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Several NBA players and coaches, not just Pacers and the Pistons, they all said that that was the worst fight they have ever seen. Almost like game-changing level. What's funny is like Kid Rock was there. He described the fight as unbelievable.
Pretty bad when Kid Rock says it's bad.
That is, yeah, really bad. So obviously a lot of NBA teams immediately after this happened, they increased the protection of the players, the arenas. They imposed new security guidelines in February of 2005 for all the arenas that the NBA teams played at. It included limiting the size of alcohol purchases to just 24 U.S. fluid ounces and a hard cap of 2 alcoholic beverages per purchase for any individual person. And all alcohol sales has to end after the third quarter.
It doesn't sound like, I mean, okay, so I'm sure that there was alcohol involved.
Oh, sure.
But it doesn't sound like that was the reason.
No. Look, if our test came up into the stands, I'm throwing my beer, right?
Like, yeah.
I don't care how much I paid for it. Like, I only get this chance once. I'm throwing my beer.
Where I usually sit at any sporting event, it would have been thrown from the balcony. So,
yeah, that same. The NBA also ordered that each team had to put at least 3 security guards between the team and the fans. The whole arena having 3 guards to now there has to be 3 guards between the fans and the team. I don't know if that still exists today. It may be even more strict than that.
I was going to say, I bet it is.
The Pacers and the Pistons, after this event, they played for the first time on December 25th in Indiana. The Pistons won 98-93, and there was no problems. Like, no fights, nothing. They probably did beef up security a little bit for that night. On March 25th of 2005, the Pacers played at the Palace for the first time since the brawl. There were bomb threats. There were threats against the Pacers. They had to delay the game 90 minutes because of all these threats. But eventually they played. The Pacers beat them 94-81. But
hey,
no issues.
As a fan, as an Indiana fan, you just got our best player kicked off for the whole season.
The whole season. Yep.
There would have been more brawls, man.
So let me ask, if you were Ron Artest, what would you do with your time? If you're like, okay, I'm off for the next year, no injuries, no issues. I'm off. I have at least a year before I have to step onto a court again. Like, what do you do?
Would he have been allowed to go play like in a European league?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know that a European league would see that video and want to hire him.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. What do you do?
I travel. That's the only thing I can think. Yeah. Travel and hope, just like avoid populated areas.
Coach a high school team, maybe. Go to college, learn something.
Coach a high school team during night. Go to anger management classes during the day.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So,
film some commercials.
Probably not a bad idea.
You got to make some money somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he wasn't making any money during this time. Gosh. After that year, so after Ron Artest, serves his suspension.
Comes back.
Comes back the following year. He only played 16 games, and he demanded to be traded, which I hate. I hate when players demand to be traded. Yeah. I think they should never be in a position to demand being traded. Yeah. Okay, so he got traded to the Rockets and then got traded to the Lakers, where he eventually retired.
Okay.
In 2010, Ron Artest won an NBA championship with the Lakers. And I remember that.
I think I remember that too.
Because his name, he changed his name from Ron Artest to Meta World Peace.
Yes.
And which is like the most hilarious thing, I think. Because when I saw that video of him running up into the stands, last thing I thought was peace.
World peace.
Yeah. Which was pretty funny. So, yeah. He won. And after that, he went and apologized to the Pacers fans. And yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah. There you go.
All right.
So what do you think, man?
That is great.
Who was at fault?
I'm going to go back to my statement. Detroit already won the championship. Yes, you can be upset about that. There was tensions, obviously. But I think Artest was trying to, if he says it or not, I think he was trying to escalate something.
Oh, okay. Because he laid down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's so many different ways to breathe in and out, like bend over, take your breaths, and walk to the bench and sit down.
Walk away. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, any fight can be avoided if you walk away.
Mm-hmm. So it's no doubt in your mind, Ron Artest.
There was a little bit of instigation there. But to leave the court and go into the stands again. Where is your mind?
I guess that's the thing, is his anger had overtaken his mind to where he didn't think of the consequences.
Tell you what, whoever was giving him classes before
needs to be fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, don't go maybe to that find guy. Him. Charge him $4 million.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I don't blame anybody until Ron Artest went up into the stands.
Yeah.
I don't even blame the guy who threw the cup. Like,
right? Fans are
stupid.
They're stupid and we're dedicated.
Yep. And there's a reason why fans are there and the players
that's
are
right.
here. Right? I doubt you would ever see that again in the NBA. I don't think.
Yeah, probably not.
Because, I mean, there are so many cameras in an arena. You could never get away with that.
Yeah. As fun as it would be, I don't think I'd ever want to risk being banned for life, man.
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
What's funny is John Green and Ron Artest are friends.
Oh, that's great. That is awesome.
Yep. They've settled their differences and they're friends.
Cool.
What could have prevented this?
He should have just sat down or even left the game. It was over.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to be there anymore.
Do you blame the coach for keeping the starters in?
Ooh. That, you know what? In a way, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you're already winning. That's also like, yeah.
Because imagine.
They should have been like, no, sit down, rest. We got games all week.
For the rest of the season,
yeah.
We'll get ahead and the standings will be all right.
Yeah. There was some animosity there for sure.
So I talked about the implications of keeping the starters in.
Yeah.
Because they kept the starters in and because it progressed to that point, they lost most of their talent.
Yeah.
And they probably could have won, in my opinion, they probably could have won the championship if that never happened,
yeah.
if they had kept their original players.
Such a what if.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Meta World Peace himself. Do you think we'll ever see anything like that again?
I think as far as fans and players, I don't see that happening as bad.
Okay.
Between players?
Oh yeah. For sure. I could see that.
Well, there was a guy that ran onto the baseball field last year and was just wanting to get like a hug from one of the players.
Last year this happened?
I think it was at a Rockies game, yeah.
Oh, God.
And also, you know, you have people that just want to run across the field.
Sure.
Streakers at mm-hmm. the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So.
But you notice that they don't show that on camera ever?
Yeah.
Like, I think they made a change. Like, you're not supposed to focus on the person.
Yeah.
Like, naked or not. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're not giving them any attention kind of deal.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever want to risk not being able to go.
I would never run out naked in front of that many people. Are you kidding me?
You would have to have a lot of liquid courage.
And someone would have to pay me because I'm getting fired. Like,
nobody's
going to hire me ever again.
You're never coming to another game again.
No, you're done. It would take millions.
Yeah.
All right. Malice at the Palace.
Malice at the Palace. Hello, YouTube. I'm coming to watch you.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode. Please follow us on Twitter at FX3Podcast. Our Instagram is at F3Pod_cast. And Facebook is Failures, Flops, and Fiascos. Please feel free to submit your fail of the week to FX3Podcast@gmail.com. Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you next time.